I'm Brian McCreath at WCRB. I'm at Symphony Hall with Eric Nathan, whose concerto for orchestra is being performed by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, a commission by the BSO. Eric, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me here.
This piece on paper looks like an 18-minute purely orchestral piece, no voices, no real solos or featured soloists, and one movement in three sections. Tell me about the parameters that you were given when this commission first arrived to you. Is this basically what the BSO wanted to look for, or did they give you a completely blank slate? How did this come about?
Well, they give me the time length for the piece and then also the size of the orchestra. So here there are triple winds and triple brass. But after that, it's pretty much up to me.
And you have a long history of hearing the BSO that comes through your childhood and through educational experiences and everything. So I'm very curious about how this specific orchestra kind of informs your thinking about music in general, but certainly how does this orchestra and the way that it sounds, its particular characteristics, play out in the way that concerto for orchestra sounds?
Well, I think the BSO has such an iconic sound in each of its sections. The strings have an incredible lush sound that has this really tall spectrum of sound from the low to the high. It's like a sheen on it. And so in my piece, I really have us luxuriate in kind of long sustained chords in the strings. The brass have such an incredible brilliance to it. And so here there are quite large brass sections, but also there are sections where the brass play very lyrically, and then this brilliance emerges from the quiet. And the woodwinds have such a beautiful lyrical quality, and I tried to bring this out by highlighting the different members of the section in order to kind of create a larger woodwind sense of singing.
Okay. And what I like about the way you describe it, I love this tall spectrum that you describe in the strings. That's a great way to put it. And that sheen that you describe. Some of these characteristics, they're not necessarily clear if you're not sort of comparing one orchestra directly to another. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit hard to grab onto them. But maybe, and another one is the brilliance of the brass, not just powerful, but brilliant. There's a light sort of sparkling quality to the BSO brass a lot of times, and that lyricism of the woodwinds that you describe.
Yeah.
What struck me as I was listening to the piece was that really takes form in the middle of the piece. It's almost like it's a surprise almost when it happens, because there's so much sound being generated for so much of the piece. And immediately contrasted sometimes with very spare sounds. But then this lyrical sort of melody happens in the woodwinds. And what you're saying is that those different things are built into the piece specifically around the way that the BSO plays those different instruments.
Yeah, and I was thinking of the concerto for orchestra as celebrating the instrument that is the orchestra, but also the instrumental families and kind of the sense of community in the instrumental family. And I grew up playing trumpet in orchestra, so I feel this sense of community to my section, but also to the larger orchestra. And so through the piece, the kind of second section, we gradually become introduced to the woodwinds, the strings, and the brass. And it begins in each of these sections with one woodwinds playing, and then another one joins in, continuing the melody from them, and the third continues the melody. So everyone plays one note of a melody. I was thinking kind of like a tree and its branches. Maybe you can imagine a tree growing and branches sprouting and creating this larger, beautiful thing that is a tree, that here is the woodwind section.
Nice. That's a great way to describe it. Part of Robert Kurzinger's program notes really struck me, because we're talking about so far this piece kind of growing out of your perceptions of what the BSO specifically sounds like. But there's another thing that Robert, who writes for the BSO, cited, which is the inspiration of the concert experience itself. And so that really fascinates me, because the concert experience is something that means different things to different people. So what does that mean to you, and what's its value? And then how does that actually take flight in concerto for orchestra?
Well, I've been attending the BSO a lot over the last few years, and I've felt increasingly that I feel like I'm getting a sense of sustenance from attending. And I think the crux of that is that I realize this is a really a space for listening to a community. And I feel that the orchestra itself, here we have 100 players on stage who are all intensely listening to one another, but also working together to create something to share to the audience. The audience comes and listens to what these 100 people are saying and takes sustenance from that, I think. And then you have the orchestra that plays differently because of the energy of this listening from the audience. And then the audience is listening to itself listen. And I feel that today this is quite remarkable to have a space where we're all coming to listen to one another.
The key word that jumped out at me in what you just said is community. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of thing that in this age, as people's interactions are mediated by distance and technology and time even in some cases, this idea that everybody in a single room is doing one thing is kind of more and more rare, I guess. And so with that in mind, what is it that happens in Concerto for Orchestra that we can say grew out of that idea?
Yeah, we're right at the very beginning. It's a very clamorous opening with many different instrumental voices all competing against one another, this big kind of shocking sound. And then immediately following that, we have this very, very soft chord of just an E octave in the violins and double bass. And my idea for this is that this octave, this very soft section, really draws us in to the sound of the room. I almost thought of this as like the room tone. And here we're drawn in and saying, here we are in this space. Let's experience and think about what this means. And because it's so soft, we'll probably be hearing people shuffling their program or coughing. And like you start to realize we're here. And then, of course, the big brassy sound comes in again. And we gradually alternate between these things until we find ourselves kind of in a more intimate place, ready for the story to begin.
Wow, that's fantastic. There's a little hint of John Cage going on there, that you're accepting the room as part of the performance. And you even said it before, you said the listeners listening to each other,
right,
in a way. That happens in concert halls. And of course, we all like to you know, kind of listen to the music, but there is the surroundings that inform what it is that's going into our ears. So that's a really fascinating approach. With all of that, now that you've heard the piece in the hall, not yet with a full audience, but here in the dress rehearsal, there were a few more people. Mm-hmm. There's some composition students, some BSO management coming in to hear the piece. So now you've been able to experience this piece that did exist only in isolation, mm-hmm. only at first in your mind, and then only in, you know, your writing or your computer program, depending mm-hmm. on how you particularly do this. What is it, if anything, that has struck you as maybe unexpected or even a surprise about Concerto for Orchestra in its living form as it has taken flight in the hall compared to how it was in your imagination beforehand?
Well, I think whenever I hear my music with people around me, and so, of course, I'm listening to it by myself. Usually just my dog is in the room, and we're listening to it together. But when someone comes, sits next to me, like so today we had a few more people in the audience, I heard it differently than I did at the first rehearsal and that I had thought of it previously. And I know every time there's a large audience there, I really focus on different parts, and it ends up making me think that actually less is more. The piece speaks very direct. Music can speak very directly to me when I have other people around that I feel are also intensely listening. There's something in me that the focus is in a different way. But I think specifically with this piece, there are sections just from the sheer energy and physicality of performance that really got my hair raising, and I felt really incredibly excited just to hear the force of sound that's coming off the stage. And the very last chord is this very loud E octave, and it kind of sends almost like a shockwave from the audience. There's like quite a lot of air coming out of the stage there. It's really, really amazing to hear it live.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime the BSO or a great orchestra of that caliber plays a piece, there is that moment of recalibration almost of your ears, like, oh my God, that's what happens. But for your own creation to have that effect, and as mentioned before, there is a lot of sound getting generated in a lot of parts of this piece. Yeah, that's got a thrilling quality to it. Is there anything about the experience so far of this piece that working with it, with Andres, with these players, that has brought to mind something that you want to do to tweak this piece, revise this piece, or even if this is feeling like that's the piece, we're going to leave it there, whatever is coming next for you, is there anything so far that you've experienced that will inform what comes next?
Mm. Well, what's come, I think not many revisions will need to be made. We've been making some revisions as we've go along,
sure,
changing dynamics, and now I think we've really got it there.
Yeah.
Going forward, I think I've just gotten more confidence in just letting sections of the piece just kind of take their own time and to grow. And I think giving the players and conductor more leeway and time to shape a phrase and really have a diminuendo come down is something. And the kind of more the more adventurous techniques that I was experimenting with in this piece really worked very much how I was hoping, and even better. And so I think that that's giving me kind of an impetus to continue thinking about these massive textures that we hear.
Absolutely. That's great. I mean, I again, not being a composer, and I think a lot of listeners not really ever having tried that, there is this quality that we don't maybe think about on this end where you've created this. Now you're kind of out of control. You don't have control over this. This is in the world. It's on the stage, and these people are doing it now.
Right.
And yes, you can offer your sort of feedback, and of course it's received by the orchestra. They want to hear what you say, but ultimately you can't do anything about what they're gonna do. So it's got to be kind of a weird feeling.
It's also, I think this is what the beauty is in music, is hearing what someone else has to say and think about what I've created, but I feel that what I'm creating is really just a vehicle to help them say something.
Yeah. Eric, Nathan, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it. Concerto for Orchestra, terrific piece. So thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.